Final hour, next man up. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Fun second hour, talked a lot of college football. Vanderbilt in Tennessee in Neyland Stadium on Saturday. A lot riding on that one. Vanderbilt playing for college football playoffs hopes. Tennessee looking to knock them out of said hopes. So that one should be interesting, and we'll keep you updated on that one throughout the week. Let's transition back into the Tennessee Titans. Of course, they lose to the Seattle Seahawks at home yesterday, 30-24. A lot of positives to take from a loss. I realize that might be a loser mentality and being complacent with losing, but if you look at where this team is and the kind of roster they have, I'll take a close loss to one of the best NFC teams in the NFL. There was a positive trend I saw yesterday, and that comes from the coaching staff. Mike McCoy seemed a little bit more aggressive, did he not? Mike McCoy went for it like twice on fourth down. Didn't get one of them because he handed the ball off to Julius Chestnut, of all people, and the running game continues to just be a problem altogether for the Titans, but why are we handing the ball to Julius Chestnut, who's like not even a top 10 skill player on the Titans roster? That's a whole separate argument. But he didn't get one, went for another. Cam Ward got one with his legs, and he was a lot more aggressive. He wasn't punting on fourth and one from their own 35 or from the Seahawks 35. And I'm giving credit where credit is due. I don't think Mike McCoy is going to be the next head coach of the Tennessee Titans, and nor would I be happy with it. But credit where credit is due. He went for it. My question is, why is he not doing this more when he has quite literally nothing to lose? And he was asked about this. Mike McCoy yesterday was asked about his more aggressive style of play calling and how that impacted the game. Here's what he had to say. So he went after Paul Kaharsky right there, if you were paying attention. Now, you were the first person I thought of, Paul. That was for you. We did that for you. He was obviously joking, but maybe there was a little bit of seriousness behind that. Anyways, Mike McCoy being more aggressive is good for the remainder of this team because quite honestly, what else do you have to lose? You're 1-10. You're not going to compete for a division. You're sure as hell not going to compete for a playoff spot. At this point, yesterday's result is exactly what you want to see from the Titans. Lose close. You want to see progress from your young players, and you saw that yesterday from Cam Ward and Chim TK and Gunnar Helm and Kevin Winston and a few others. But you also don't want to ruin the opportunity to get better in the draft, to get a high pick and fill a need that you absolutely need, whether that be receiver or defensive end or corner or whatever. Regardless of where they draft, they're going to pick high, and they're going to pick at a premium spot in the NFL. So that is exactly what you want to see. That said, you want to see Mike McCoy be more aggressive, because what do they have to lose? If you don't get it, you don't get it. That's just part of it. And he didn't get one yesterday with Julius Chestnut. But it's nice to see a little bit of aggressiveness from Mike McCoy. It's nice to see that he's listening to some of the feedback, because what was the number one knock on Mike McCoy? He is not aggressive. In fact, he's more conservative than Brian Callahan was. It's nice to see that he is kind of, I don't want to say figuring things out. They still lost the game, but he's kind of adjusting some things, for lack of a better term.
But the team looked competitive, at least after the Seahawks got off to a 30-10 lead.
Right.
The team looked competitive, and they went for it on fourth down, which was, you should have been doing that earlier, but they went for it a lot, Dan Campbell style.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that, especially with a team this bad. What the hell do you have to lose? It's nice to see that. My worry is that
5 for 7 on fourth down.
Yeah, there you go. I'm surprised they went for it 7 times. There you go.
They went from not going for it at all to going for it 7 times.
Congratulations to Mike McCoy.
I guess Paul really got in their heads.
Yeah. Congratulations to Paul Kaharsky. I don't know what you did, but whatever it is, it worked. My worry is that the Titans brass is going to look at this and be like, oh, wow, he's really improving. Let's give him an opportunity at the head coaching position, which is such an outside scenario. It's not going to happen, but it is a very Titans thing to think about, isn't it? That the Titans just decide, oh, Mike McCoy, he's showing some production. If we give him a couple more, another season, we can develop him into an all-NFL-level coach. Wouldn't that be something? And it's just not going to happen. It's not going to, and I shouldn't be worried about it. Imagine troubles, as Big Joe and Chase tell me. But it is, you know, there's an outside worry of mine that I have. That's my biggest fear. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Dustin in Hopkinsville says, I can't put my finger on it. He's not dumb. They do it against teams we aren't supposed to beat. It's almost like he was promised the world by Amy to be conservative and run Pollard up the middle to naturally tank. Look at where he gets aggressive. Yeah, and running the ball, again, has been a big problem for the Titans. When Cam Ward has more rushing yards than all three of your running backs combined.
He led the team yesterday with 37 yards.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a big problem. Tajay Spears, I think, had 4 carries for 3 yards. Tony Pollard had like 10 for 27 or something like that. I don't have the stats in front of me, but it was around that area. Cam Ward leading the team in rushing is a problem. And not that he's not capable of rolling outside of the pocket and getting some yards on the ground. I'm completely fine with that if that's what he wants to do. But this isn't the Buffalo Bills. This isn't Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson for the Ravens. This isn't a quarterback that can use his legs just as effectively as he can use his arms. No, you need I don't even want to say dynamic. You need solid running play. And the Titans didn't have that, and they haven't had that all season. So that continues to be an issue for the Titans. But as far as Mike McCoy, credit where credit is due. He actually coached pretty decently yesterday. Obviously, you can't control much of what the defense actually does on the field. They didn't play well, but they were down 30-3. And Mike McCoy somehow willed this team, with a little bit of help from Cam Ward, to covering. I don't think they care about the covering.
They covered the spread.
That is 3 straight covers for your Tennessee Titans. I don't think they cared about covering the spread. I honestly probably don't even think they know what the spread was. But I use that term because that means they lost close. They exceeded expectations. Seattle was favored to win by 8.5. The Titans lost by 7. So, you take what you can get, I guess. It's the small victories. Mike McCoy being aggressive is a positive trend towards the rest of the season because it shows that they're just trying things out. They've got nothing left to play for, so why not? Why not see what you can get on a 4th-and-1? Why not throw the ball down the field on 4th-and-1 or run the ball up the middle with Julius Chestnut? Which has proven time and time again to be ineffective, and yet here we are. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam Ward played his best game yet. I think we've established that. 28 for 42 for 256 and a touchdown. Also 6 carries for 37 yards and a touchdown. How important is it to see that from your franchise quarterback, your number one overall pick, that he's showing some progression and showing some development? We'll get to that next. Coming up right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. There you go. That was Mike McCoy yesterday talking about Cam Ward's play and how he thought he played incredibly. I tend to agree with Mr. Mike McCoy there. Cam Ward yesterday, 28 of 42 for 256 yards, a passing touchdown, and also 6 carries for 37 yards. And a rushing touchdown, led the team in rushing yards, which is probably not a good thing, as you used 3 running backs and neither one of them cracked 30 yards. Probably not a good thing. But Cam Ward, in my opinion, and to the opinion of many, played his best game in 2-tone balloon yesterday against the Seattle Seahawks. He showed major signs of progression to me. He showed signs that he's understanding the offense, that he's capable to check in and out of plays and do it effectively, that he's capable of making a nice read and even capable of scrambling outside of the pocket and improvising a little bit and still getting the ball downfield to an open receiver as he did with Xavier Restrepo. So I ask you, Parker, and I ask all of our listeners, again, 615-737-1025, how important is it to see this from Cam Ward, not just against any team, but against a good defense, against a good NFC team in the Seahawks, a defense that I don't think is as good as the Legion of Boom was 10 years ago, but is trending in that direction, is a really good team capable of winning that NFC West division. How important is it to see Cam Ward, I don't want to say dominate, but thrive against a good defense?
It's very encouraging. It goes to show why this organization had the belief in him being the first overall pick. And you knew when Mike McDonald got to Seattle that they were going to have a top five caliber defense, and they absolutely do. And it's important to remember that with Cam Ward, the run game has been basically non-existent. They are solely reliant on the passing game. This Titans team does not have an identity like they did a few years ago when Derrick Henry was here. You're down your top two, three wide receivers. You're relying on an undrafted guy in Xavier Restrepo to come in the second half and provide a spark. So this rests solely on the shoulders of Cam Ward, and that is not a load that you want your rookie quarterback to have. But I thought he played his best game as a Tennessee Titan yesterday. I thought we saw him get the ball out of his hands quickly, which has been a theme consistently throughout the year. He didn't turn the football over. He made plays with his legs instead of running to throw.
Mm-hmm.
He ran to run, which is exactly what you want to see, and he picked up some first downs. There were a couple more times where I believe the shovel to Julius Chestnut, if you would have just taken off, you probably would have gotten further than Julius Chestnut did when you were trying to make a play. So I believe there are spots to clean up, but when you don't have a run game, there's no threat with play action. So it's straight drop back, and the defense knows exactly what you're doing. So based on his performance yesterday, it was hands down one of the better performances by Cam Ward as a Tennessee Titan.
Yeah, hands down one of the better. I would argue the best so far. 615-737-1025. Wes in Clarksville says, I wonder how much effort the coaches are giving knowing they're about to lose their jobs. That's kind of the argument, right? If you're talking on Mike McCoy's aggressiveness, that's kind of my argument. You know you're about to lose your job. Why not just go all in and be more aggressive? You're an interim, right? There's no reason for you to be punting on fourth and one inside the opposition zone. It's not effective for this team. It's not effective for a game situation. It's not effective for your standing as interim coach. And they're not going to fire an interim coach. I don't even think you can do that. But he's going to finish the year out, and then they'll cut him loose. We'll never see Mike McCoy again. You're not going to get out of him what you can't get out of an established coach that is currently unemployed, like Mike McCarthy, or if you want to go the employed route, Matt Nagy, or someone like that. Mike McCoy's days are numbered. As soon as week 18 hits and the final on that hits, he's gone. There's no sense in keeping him around. Dustin in Hopkinsville, bringing up something on Xavier Restrepo. Let's see if I can get it up because it's a little bit further back. Okay, let's see.
This is phenomenal radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry, everyone. Basically, what he said was Xavier Restrepo had himself a decent game. I don't want to say good game because he didn't do anything otherworldly. 2 catches for 26 yards. What he's trying to say is Restrepo is on the map now, which he's wondering if we put him back on the practice squad, if the Titans put him back on the practice squad Is it a risk to be picked up by someone else? Here it is. It worries me that there's chemistry with Cam. If he could be a good slot receiver, reliable on short check down gains, a good tool for us, we could get other better slot receivers in the draft or free agency. But, man, my heart wants him here. I think he can be productive here, enough here, and a good role-playing receiver. I don't think it's something to worry about, really. Two catches for 26 yards. That doesn't just jump out on the page at any team. Were teams watching? I'm sure. Because it ends up on film. But what Xavier Restrepo did out there, and we're getting back into the strep hole, he didn't do anything remarkable. He didn't do anything otherworldly. He made two wide open catches, and one of them was because Cam Ward adjusted. The other one was Seattle was playing zone, and he just streaked across the middle and happened to be open. He should have had a touchdown, but he dropped it.
Well, I don't know if that was a tough catch. The second one, that where he got stopped short of the goal line.
Yeah,
that, gosh, if he would have gotten in, could you imagine the reaction today?
Chase put it perfectly yesterday. The stadium would have popped like McNair throwing to Dyson back in like 2002. But on Restrepo, to kind of wrap this thing up on the Restrepo talk, because I'm kind of done with it. He didn't do anything astronomical. I don't think he's good. It's on film, obviously, and everything that a player and a coach does is on film. But I don't think anything he did is going to jump out at, you know, Kansas City and say, oh, my God, Xavier Restrepo could get us into the playoffs. That's not how that works. Adam in Portland says, I just need to see Cam continue to protect himself and learn these receivers. He looks smarter every week into his decision-making. We will probably suck next year but hopefully it looks a lot better. I'm hoping we are competing for a playoff spot in 2027 in our new stadium. Yeah, so is Amy Adams Strunk, right? That's kind of what she harps on, is we're going to be competitive when this new stadium opens. That sounded like, you know, Jerry Jones. But you're right. Cam Ward is developing. He just needs to have more pocket awareness and more awareness of what's going on downfield, but his decision-making is becoming a lot better. He looks more comfortable in an NFL offense, and maybe that's because he has 11 games under his belt now as opposed to three. But he looks a lot more developed. He's obviously not a finished product. There's a lot of work to do there, and there's going to continue to be a lot of work there to get him to where he's supposed to be. But you're right. Cam Ward is developing, and he looks good. Ricky is bringing me back into the strep talk. We can admit he's a better option than Kinsey. I'll agree with that. I think he's a better option to bring up on the practice squad than Mason Kinsey, because I think he has a little bit more upside. We know exactly what Mason Kinsey is. We think we know what Restrepo is. We're just not sure. But I can agree to that. I think Xavier Restrepo is a better option to bring up than Mason Kinsey because of the connection, because of the aspect that they're friends and they've played together long enough and there's a connection. I'm just not, you know, wildly overboard for Xavier Restrepo. Brandon and Herbitage. The Titans played very well, and we know how bad this team is. Let's enjoy the small step forward. Agreed. That's why we're harping on kind of the positive things here. Mike McCoy's more aggressive. Cam Ward played his best game as a Titan and is showing signs of development. Kevin Winston played well. Jim DK played well. You had a lot of pieces that played well, and it sounds like we're celebrating a loss here, and it is maybe a loser mentality, but Titans fans like myself and like the audience are numb to these losses now. So any sign we see of something good happening in the Titans' direction, we jump on it. So I'm here to celebrate that today. Not that we're taking moral victories and hanging the moral banner, but there were good things that happened today. And for a team this bad and a team that you don't expect to win many games from here on out, it's something to celebrate. It is certainly something to celebrate. So I ask you fans, how do you feel about the hope that the positive things that happened today or yesterday for the Titans, how much hope does that instill for you? What does that make your mind up for the Titans moving forward? How do you feel about the Titans, not just this season, but for the core pieces and beyond? Cam Ward, Jim DK, Kevin Winston. How do you feel about these core pieces moving on? We'll get to that on the other side right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. 30 more minutes here on Next Man Up. Connor Newt, Parker Kelly here with you. Sleeping like a baby. Oh, what is this? I Never Lie.
I Never Lie.
Yeah, Zach Top. Good stuff. Country Mondays, I think, should be a staple here on the
program. You know, I proposed the idea.
This isn't my program, but I
guess we'll leave it up to the listeners and the callers. I proposed it just as a one-time deal, but if you wanted to stick around, I'm a man of the people.
Well, it's not my program, but I would if it were my program, I'd like Country Mondays. We're discussing the positives of the Titans and how those move forward towards the future. Cam Ward in particular, but you have you have pieces that are trending in a right direction. Jim DK, Kevin Winston, Adam in Portland points out Peter Skoronski. Peter Skoronski is the Titans' best offensive lineman this year, by far. He's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and I don't think there's any arguing that. Adam in Portland says, I agree with you, but Cam is also doing this with four completely trash offensive linemen. Latham is a bust, Cushenberry sucks and stays hurt, Dan Moore is as advertised as a left tackle, and Kevin Zeitler may be worse than Jalen Duncan. I agree with you on three of the four. Latham is not playing well right now. I think we can all agree on that. There is no argument there. I would not label him a bust just yet. He's still a second-year guy on a trash offense playing along, as you said, trash offensive lineman. Cushenberry...
He didn't have the penalty problem.
Yeah.
I think he would.
That's his problem.
Yeah.
That's his problem. And I think his work ethic has kind of trailed off a little bit from everything we've heard going on in practice. Jeffrey Simmons stays on him. And he should. Jeffrey Simmons is a leader of this team. But to your point, Adam, Cushenberry is not playing well, and he stays hurt. Dan Moore is exactly what you expected Dan Moore to be coming out of Pittsburgh. He's not bad, but he's not good, if that makes sense. And Kevin Zeitler is just completely washed. So you're right. He's doing this with a better offensive line than they had last year, but still not a good one. Justin Griebreyer, the positives are definitely this rookie class. The defense and veteran players have just underperformed, at least yesterday they did. The Titans will be astronomically stupid to not bring back Bones Fossil. But what about Denard Wilson? Should they bring him back with how up and down this defense has performed? To Denard Wilson's credit, he cannot turn water into wine. He is not Jesus. Jesus is the only man in history that could do that. But if there was one coach on this entire staff that I would consider bringing back, not named Bones Fossil, it would be Denard Wilson, because I think he's smart defensively. I think if he had the right tools and the right guys in his defense, he would be having a lot better results. I think he's a smart enough defensive coordinator that he would do well somewhere else. But right here, right now, I don't think he's going to be retained just because I think they want a completely fresh slate. Now, I agree with you. They would be stupid to not bring back Bones Fossil, because this is the best the special teams has been in years and years and years for the Titans. But as far as Denard Wilson, I would be okay if they brought him back. But I think whoever the new coach is going to come in here and bring in his own guys. Wes in Clarksville says, I have no hope for the Titans until they announce a new coach. You're right. Yeah, we're in wait-and-see mode, right? It's what coach is going to help develop Cam Ward. Brian Callahan was obviously not the answer. I think he was more of a detriment to Cam Ward than a help. Mike McCoy is not the answer, because he's just the interim filling a void, and he's going to be gone after week 18 anyway. So whoever they bring in here, it is of the utmost importance that they develop Cam Ward. It's going to be probably their primary thing that they're going to be looked back on when they take the Titans job. Did Mike McCarthy help develop Cam Ward? Did Matt Nagy help develop Cam Ward? That's going to be the number one thing. Adam in Portland says, answer me this though, Connor. If we are stuck to pick at number one, who are you taking, and does that person change our defense. Without getting into the draft talk, I think you've got to fill a hole. And you're going to have to regardless. Reuben Bain, I think, is someone that a lot of people are looking at just because of his dynamic. And Parker, you can talk a lot about Reuben Bain as well, knowing as much about college football as you do. But Reuben Bain, I think, is kind of the number one edge rusher if you want to go the defensive route. I think on defense, in the secondary, you can look at maybe Caleb Downs. But if I were the Titans, I would probably go receiver.
So many needs.
There's so many needs.
So, it's so hard to pinpoint exactly where they should go. Just take the best available player on the board. I'll
right.
be happy.
Right. Jordan Tyson comes to mind for out of Arizona State. Watching him Saturday, I really like Malachi Lemon out of USC.
Oh, dude. That's my draft. That's my early draft crush.
Really?
Malachi Lemon. We need to come up with a saying for that last name because we could print so many t-shirts if the Titans draft Malachi Lemon.
I think at number one, he would obviously be an extreme reach. But if I'm the Titans, and we're straying into the draft talk, and I hate it that we're doing it in November, but if I'm the Titans, I look to shop this year and get a haul. Don't fall out of the top five or six, but get a haul, get picks going, moving forward, and see what you can get in the top six. I think regardless of who you take, you're going to need to fill a hole. But to answer your question, if the Titans are picking number one, you're asking about coaching. If the Titans are picking number one and you want to coach, I think Mike McCarthy is probably the move. Jim Schwartz, I think, is a good point Adam brings up. He beat the Titans' butts. We can interview him I think I would like him more as a defensive coordinator, especially if like Arthur Smith were to take this job. But yes, I think regardless of who comes in here, you need a competent defensive coordinator. 3337. Cam is also doing this with at best number four receivers on any other team and no run game. Agree with you there. Chim DK maybe be a two or a three, but everyone else is probably a four. Ben says, I do think there's a small percentage of the defense looking better than it is because the other team can play conservatively, knowing that the Titans' offense is not going to score. Yeah, but they kind of proved that wrong for once yesterday, right? The Seahawks started playing a little bit more conservative in the second half and allowed the Titans to open up the playbook and, you know, cover. I think I said earlier it was an 8.5-point spread. It was actually 12.5, so thank you to the texter there. Even better, you covered a 12.5 spread. That's almost a two-touchdown spread. Chip from Mount Juliet says we should call Malachi Lemon the lemon drop if he comes here. That would only work if he drops passes. Chase from White Bluff.
The lemon drop. I don't know if I can get with that.
We'll workshop it. We'll get there. Chase from White Bluff says the Titans should sign Jameis Winston as their running back / Wildcat QB.
I was for signing him as the backup quarterback
in
the preseason because I don't even care what he contributes on the field.
He is referring
that
to...
That dude is hilarious.
Well, did you see his play yesterday?
I did. I saw both of them.
It was ridiculous.
I saw. They ran two flea flickers yesterday. One was a passing touchdown to your boy, Wandale Robinson.
Wandale, he got me
30
points yesterday.
And the other was his touchdown catch, which might go down as the play of the year.
Wandale got me 30 fantasy points yesterday.
He was sitting on my bench.
He's a keeper league, so hopefully... With the receiver room of... Wandale Robinson and what's wrong with me?
I can't help you out. I don't know your fantasy team.
No, I'm talking about the Giants.
Jalen Hyatt?
Malik Neighbors.
Well, he's hurt.
Obviously. Yeah. I'm talking about the future. With a receiving room like that, they are Super Bowl bound. I'm just kidding. Let's see here. 3337, we have played a lot of really good defenses so far this year. Most will be in the playoffs. Yes, you're right. The Broncos are a good defense. The Rams are a really good defense. As you saw last night, the Rams, I mean, they need to be Super Bowl favorites at this point.
I mean, seriously. Hands Stafford the MVP trophy now.
He had three touchdown passes last night.
Yep. So, and he hasn't thrown an interception in
So he,
six games?
That puts him at 30 passing touchdown to two.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
Insane ratio.
Davante Adams is playing high-level football. Puka Nacua is one of the brightest young receivers in the league. And then their defense, they have Jared Verse and a couple of other pieces there.
Byron Young, Colby Turner, Braden Fisk.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that defense is as good as it is without Aaron Donald on it.
But, it might have gotten better.
But it may have gotten
better.
Which
is insane.
Which is
They're so good at drafting. That's why.
Well, they have by far the best coach in the NFL.
And all of their guys are young, so they're relatively inexpensive.
I mean, the only thing they're going to have to look at in the next few years is a quarterback, because Stafford is 38 playing at this level. I would imagine he has 1 to 2 more years left in him before.
Yeah,
they
may keep him around for 2-3 more years, but it will. I mean, there was talk they might try to go after Jackson Dart in the draft, but we'll see.
I mean, they could totally go the Jordan Love route. I would trust Sean McVay to develop a quarterback, but you're right. The Rams are a good defense, and the Titans have played a lot of good defenses. Broncos, Rams, Seahawks. The Colts are a good defense.
I don't know if you read Paul Kaharsky's article.
Texans.
But the Titans have had arguably one of the toughest schedules in the entire NFL.
For a fourth-place schedule.
Yeah, that's not to say that the Titans still wouldn't lose most of their games. They would, but the schedule doesn't make things any easier.
Which is hilarious, because you compare the Titans' schedule to the Patriots' schedule, which is also a fourth-place schedule, and it doesn't seem the same. Like, obviously the Patriots play the Bucs and the Bills because they're in that division, but Patriots played a Joe Burrow-less Bengals team yesterday and barely won. So they're a good team. They beat the Titans.
Joe Flacco might have thrown one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen for somebody that's been in the league as long as he has.
He's got to hang it up. He's fine, but as soon as Burrow's back, he's gone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for your calls and texts on the Tennessee Titans. We'll wrap things up coming up next right here on Next Man Up on 102.5 The Game. Oh, what a phenomenal song to wrap us up here, because it's relatable.
It is.
One day I'll fall in love.
We won't get into it.
Eh. I mean, I could spend a whole 3-hour show on my love life if you wanted to. And how sad it is.
I don't think you need to open yourself up to any more criticism after your Vanderbilt, Kentucky.
Welcome back in. Final segment here on this Monday morning, Reaction Monday, coming up next for those other two talentless losers that come on behind me. But wrapping things up here, kind of just talking about the outlook of the Titans. Are there any positives that you took away from yesterday that you think could continue to trend into the direction heading into years to come? Our good friend Keegan has called back on our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keegan, what's up?
Hey, not much, fellas. Hope y'all are doing all right. I was just watching the game yesterday, and this might be something that only I took from it. But I don't know. While I was watching it, it just seemed at some point during the second half, it just seemed like something had changed for the Titans team. I'm not saying necessarily the coaching staff or an office, but just the players on the field. In my mind, the best way I can kind of think about it is you're watching a documentary. It gets to the point where the narrator's like, oh, and at this point, this person's life changed or something changed for this person, group, whatever. Mm. And kind of, I don't know. To me, yesterday, it kind of felt like we were at that point where if you go back and you look at the Arizona win, that was just a total fluke. The interception turned fumble, turned touchdown. That should have never happened. You take that win, we don't have any wins. But yesterday, on the flip side, you saw more of an actual fight. You saw more of a what seemed to be kind of an organized team coming together as one and putting a fight together. Now, obviously, some of these guys won't be around going on next year and future years. The coaching staff won't be around. But that's why I say to the players on the field specifically, it seemed like watching them yesterday, something had changed to this point where going forward, you know, we might just get waxed next weekend. You know, what I'm saying don't matter at all. But at the same time, going forward, we can go out there and play really hard and kind of keep it a close game again, you know, maybe put a couple close games, a couple moral victories on top of one another, and you're getting closer to getting that real victory for once. And it just seemed to me like the team, the guys, the Jimmys and Joes, they bought in, they came out and they played together. And like Big Jeff was saying, to a sense, they kind of played complimentary football to a little smaller extent than everybody would obviously want for a successful team. But I don't know. In my opinion, it just seemed like something was different about that team yesterday that might impact them in a very positive way going forward. And that's all I got for you, fellas.
Thank you, Keegan. Yeah, I appreciate the call. I think you're right to some standpoint. Maybe this is a turning point for the Titans. I don't think it happens this season. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but this team is not good. We can keep talking about moral victories, and today is certainly a moral victory. That said, I don't want to live off just moral victories. I want to get to a point where we're talking about actual victories, and that's kind of where this conversation has taken us to, is do the Titans have the key pieces right now that they can use to build upon? And I think they do have some. I think Cam Ward is going to be a huge piece moving forward, obviously. Peter Skoronski is playing Pro Bowl-level football right now. Jim DK is playing great football. Kevin Winston is going to be important for the safety room. You've got a lot of pieces moving forward that I think you're hoping are going to cash. The other thing is you've got pieces that you hope will build, and some of them have proven better than others. J.C. Latham, I think, is going to be capable of playing good football. He's got to cut down on the penalties, and he's got to get his work ethic back up. A guy that we have just completely forgotten about because he's on IR, but Femi Oladejo is an important piece for the future because that's a second-round pick, and that's a high-quality pick. They used it on a developmental edge, and it hasn't paid off for them so far. So you're going to have to see some investment into Femi Oladejo. Can he hit the quarterback? Right now it doesn't seem like it. So you're going to have to hope for the best that he tends to stick. I'm not there yet. But moral victories are moral victories. Maybe a loser mentality to have, and the Titans are losers. They're 1-10 on the season. But today doesn't feel as bad as other losses have. There were positives to take away from. We've spent all day talking about Cam Ward's play, and Mike McCoy looked more aggressive. And some of you strep heads are ready to rush Xavier Restrepo to Canton, Ohio for his 2-catch, 26-yard performance. If that makes you happy, go for it. But Cam Ward was the story yesterday. Mike McCoy played aggressive, which is good because he's got nothing to lose. The defense did not play well, but you're seeing things that are short of showing development for the Titans, and that's a good thing. It is actually a great thing. And I'm not saying that the Titans are going to completely turn their season around, because that's just unrealistic to think about. It's not. It's unrealistic to think that the Titans will even be competitive next year with this roster. Now, it depends on what they do in free agency and do they have a good draft. I still can't get into the idea that they'll be competitive next year, but you never know. We'll see. I doubt it, but we'll see. As far as Cam Ward, it's a matter of can he build off of this performance. He played well yesterday. And we all know he's got the confidence to play well and to build off of playing well. But can he, with the roster around him? He managed to make things happen with Chim DK as his number one receiver. Van Jefferson, who you forget is even a human being at some point, not in the good way, you forget he exists. Alec Iomanner, of course, was out. You had Xavier Restrepo out there. He managed to make chicken soup out of chicken crap, if that makes sense. So
I appreciate you not going expletive there.
Yeah.
And getting us both fired.
You're welcome. I am a man of the people, so I will do that. So
we are men.
We
of the people
are men.
You want Country Mondays? I'll bring you Country Mondays.
Well, that's up to Jake Lyman. This is in my program. I'm just borrowing it for the day. But that'll do it
for tomorrow.
No, I'm off tomorrow.
Oh, you're off tomorrow?
Yeah, Jake's back tomorrow.
Oh, so be okay. Tony Tuesday,
With probably no Tony.
Probably no. Okay.
I don't know. I don't know where Frazier is today. I haven't heard from him. I just knew he was out.
Heard he was getting credentialed by LinkedIn or.
Oh, with something. Chase.
Yeah,
oh, that's good. That's good. Speaking of Chase and Big Joe, they are coming up Right up next, as they are broadcasting from Circa over in Kentucky, go hang out with them. They'll greatly appreciate it. But for us here on Next Man Up, for Parker Kelly, my name is Connor Newt, saying so long. I'll be with you on Black Friday from 8 to 11:30 a.m. Be sure to tune in for that as we get you all the sports talk you need while you're out and about shopping on Black Friday. But for now, we say so long. Chasing Big Joe coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game.